ॐ ज्ञानतिमरन्दस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकय चाक्षुर्मूलतं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपाखदामायं ददाति स्वापदन्तिकं तप्ता कञ्चनगौरङ्गे राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वंशाकल्पातरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभयेव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्रीअद्वैता गदाधर श्रीवासुदेव गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Whoa. Okay. Hare Bo. Why don't we just bring a few more flowers and have the Vyas Puja now? we'll save all the time. Just move up a little bit. Good. You know, it's the Julan Yatra. So I'll speak something about that, but first a little background. Oh, Vrindavan. Oh, Vrindavan. I miss Vrindavan. Oh. You know, I remember the first time I got certain books. Remember the first time you got a Bhagavad Gita? Krishna Bhagavad Gita. Tell you the first time I got a Bhagavad Gita. I started to get into Krishna consciousness in the university. And my kind of life would change. Right? My life was changed. So I met the devotees, but I didn't get the books yet. And then gradually I stopped coming because I was living off campus at this time. And I stopped coming, my nature is I don't like to travel. So I'd just rather stay in my place. If you give me a choice, I'll just stay in my place. But one day I just felt compelled to go to the university, the student union. I just felt compelled because already I didn't want to go social events. I don't know. So, and I got in my green Volkswagen. You know how much they cost new at that time? $1,900. I was writing a Monday morning greetings about going for an ear test, you know, to check my hearing. And then I asked the doctor, how much was a hearing aid? He said, it's like cars, it's a different range. He said, the entry level is $2,000. I told him I'd rather be deaf. I'm getting one anyway, but it's being sent by someone. But I was just thinking, you know, when I was growing up in Brooklyn and, you know, we got sick, the doctor made a house call. It was like $10. Things have changed. But anyway, I got in this car, this new car, this Volkswagen car, and it was almost like it was driving me to the student union. I couldn't figure out why I was going in this car. And then I didn't want social life anymore. I was getting into bhakti. It drove me to and then I got out, and then a guy behind the desk, you know, in the reception desk, said, We're standing in front of the reception desk and talking to two devotees. Said, "There's the person we were telling you about." And then it was two devotees, Lakshmi Moni and her husband at that time, Jagadish. They were going to pick up the Radha Krishna deities for the Toronto temple. So they were stopping. And then they said, "Oh, we knew that there was another devotee here because we saw Lord Jagannath. And there was a picture of Lord Jagannath behind the reception desk." I didn't even know who Lord Jagannath was, why he was there. So I got a Gita. Then my college roommate, he what we called blooped. When someone left, they call him bloop because it was the sound of, I know, something falling in the ocean. Bloop. So my college roommate blooped. And he dodged the draft. So he was coming back to see the, you know, in the, because he came from upstate New York. He was in California. I met devotees with him. So he was coming back. And he brought back the Krishna book. And then the same thing happened. I was in my house and it was like some party or something. They go, "Nah, I don't want to go. I just like to stay in my house." And I started to read the Krishna book. And at the time, in college, my major was philosophy. As Jayadvaita Maharaj said, when Akinchana Krishna was in NYU, and he had a bhakti club, and he invited Jayadvaita Maharaj to speak, and Jayadvaita Maharaj said, "What school of ignorance are you studying?" And he said, "Philosophy." He said, "Great, now you can't even get a job," which is a fact. That's why he just does kirtan now. So I was studying philosophy. I don't know what you call study in those days in college. We were marching on Washington and doing so many things. I don't think anyone was serious. But anyway, but in college, they gave a definition of what is God. And the classic definition, that being of which no greater can be conceived. So I started to read the Krishna book. And I remember I was sitting in my room and I was reading. And then it was, I think I was in the second chapter, the prayers of the demigods. And it's describing what is the nature of Krishna. You know, because it's the prayers of the demigods. So you have this little boy and he has this family, and he has these friends, and he plays, and he steals butter, and he dances with the gopis. You know, but then you hear, you know, but he's a cosmic universe, and everything is within him. He is otum protum. You know what otum protum means? Otum protum. Otum protum means like the threads on a cloth. Otum protum. So he's otum protum. He's the threads on the cloth of the universe. So I hear about all this Aishvarya. The demigods are praying in the womb. Krishna's in the womb and that he's God. And it describes this great definition of God, that his consciousness is inclusive of everything and everything. You know, all these prayers. But at the same time, he has this family and he's stealing butter. And he's dancing with the gopis and playing with his friends. His friends go out of the forest and a friend steals the flute. And then they play tag and one boy hits and they run here and there. And he has the greatest job in the world. What's the greatest occupation? You see, Krishna's in the Vaishya family. They take, that's, you know, business. So there's four types of occupations. You can do trade, banking, agriculture, and cow protection. Banking and trade, it's all this negotiation stuff and, you know, lying. I make no profit. It's part of the whole thing. And then agriculture, you know, you grow it, and then it doesn't rain. You got to harvest it, and then the groundhogs come, and you put the traps for the ground. You put the fence, and they come, and they eat all your broccoli, and it's so much fun. But cow protection, you just go out into the fields with the cows and blow your flute and play with your friends, and they graze here and there. So I was listening to this, He's God. He has like everything. He's all. He's Abhigya Surat. Abhigya means he's all knowing. And Surat means fully independent. These are the two qualities of God. God is all powerful. He's omnipotent. And he's all kind. Omnibenevolent. If he's not all potent, he can't help you. And if he's not kind, he won't. So I'm reading all this, and I'm in, you know, and it's in my mind, and he's like playing with the cows, and it's so beautiful. And he steals the butter, and they put the butter pots in clay pots up on the roof, and then Krishna sneaks in, and he climbs on his friends, and he knocks with a stick, and the butter, the real muckin, like it's different, you know, the real organic butter and brudge from the protected cows who rasa gandha, they eat special grasses that are fragrant. And Krishna's like eating the butter, it's so much fun. He's eating all the butter, and he's feed all his friends, and they're laughing. And then he's such a rascal, Krishna. He's such a rascal that Krishna opens the window and lets all the monkeys in. And then all the monkeys are eating all the butter. And they're so full, they can't even eat anymore. And then the elderly gopis come in, and they come in and they're ready to chastise Krishna. And he says, what do you blame me for? He said, you busted the butter and the butter fell on the floor. He said, what? It was all spoiled. What do you mean it's spoiled? We just put up this one. Look, even the monkeys won't eat it because they were so full. So, and then, you know, I'm going on and on with Krishna going to the forest and he's blowing his flute. Out of joy, he's blowing his flute. And he goes into the forest and his friends are dancing and singing and they're doing kirtan. And the animals come to greet Krishna, and the peacocks come, and they're dancing and offering their flowers, their feathers. Nisarga Sitam, the symptom of a great devotee, is that he serves the other great devotees. So they're coming with their peacock feathers, and the birds are singing to the symphony of his flute, and the little deer, the little cute deer. They're offering their cute doe eyes. How beautiful is this? But yet he's God. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matasarvam pavartate iti bhutva bhajanti mam Buddha. I am the source of the material and spiritual worlds. The wise who know this engage in my devotional service. Mata paratanam nanyat kinchit asti. Everything rests on me as pearls are resting on a thread. Then he comes home from the forest and he comes home from the forest and then immediately with the cows, and then they immediately go into the cow shed and then they begin to milk the cows, and Krishna has buckets and he's so joyful. He's not the bara. He's dancing, and his dancing is just so beautiful. And he's got the milk, and normally the parents would be angry. What are these kids playing? But Krishna's dancing is so attractive because Krishna is Adi Guru Kalatra. He is the, if you want to know anything, you got to go to a guru. I don't care, it's transcendental knowledge, it's exercise, it's chemistry, you got to go to a guru. And that guru has to have a guru. And that guru has to have a guru. Krishna is the Adi Guru of all the arts. So Krishna's dancing is so amazing. When he's on the head of the Kaliya serpent and he breaks through and he's crushing the heads that are coming up. But as he's crushing the heads, just like, you know, some people have just rhythm in their soul. So as soon as there's like a beat, they just have to like move. There's people like that, right? Aretha Franklin. So Krishna is just like that. He's got a beat. So he's, he, and then, you know, when he starts to dance, and then he does this amazing thing. He does this dance that's famous in South India, where you grab a plate, a big plate, but it's like this, like a plate. You put your feet here and your heels here, and then you can move the plate around, and you do this incredible dancing where you beat on the thing. You can see it on the internet, and the plate moves around, and it's like, so Krishna does that on the Kaliya serpent's head. He's got these things and he's dancing, and then all of a sudden Indra goes by. And Indra sees the beat, and Indra says, get me my madanga. And Indra is supposedly one of the greatest madanga players that ever lived, and he's playing his madanga, and then all the other demigods come, and they're bringing all their instruments. And when they bring all their instruments, they bring these different kinds of drums and these horns, and there's this incredible... And when they're looking at Krishna, you know, because they're great musicians, the Vidyadharas, that's the planet of drum players. And when the Vidyadharas see Krishna, they're kind of looking at the beat. And then they start to play, and they're playing these kind of drums, and Krishna's kind of like dancing and spinning, and then grabbing it like this, and it's moving around, and he's dancing here and there, and like... And they're all amazed. And then he's the Supreme Lord. Everything's resting on me. And, you know, Ishvara Paramaha Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karna Karanam Ishvara. Ishvara. Ish, the center, Vara, the circle, one who is the center of the circle. God is the center, but the center is everywhere. Where God is infinite, where there is no circumference, the center is everywhere. Got it, Jeanine? Where there's no circumference, the center. So Krishna is the center, and he's everywhere, and then he's stealing butter. And so I'm reading all this. This is 19... something, 70 or something, I forgot what it is. I'm reading this. I'm like, oh, this must be God. Because God is a being of which no greater can be conceived. And I can't think of anything better, greater than this. I was in Colombia and someone asked me a question, but I just think God is energy. And I say, well, I can think of something that's better than energy. Energy that can talk. So, everyone here is looking for pleasure, and pleasure is love. If that's existing here, why should it not be in its source, the ultimate reality? Therefore, the supreme absolute truth must have a certain distinction for the exchange of love. Okay, that's one thing. But then, he's got a girlfriend. Okay, now I got that he's God. Okay, stealing butter is one thing, but now I got to accommodate that now he also has a girlfriend. And the girlfriend's married. Okay, now this is like a little bit much here. I remember one time the governor of the governor of Uttar Pradesh came to Vrindavan, and the first principal of the Gurukul there, the school there, was this Indian man named Dr. Sharma. He's a very nice man in very competent ways. He wasn't a Vaishnava. But so the governor said, I don't know, you worship Krishna? He's dancing with all the gopis. I love Dr. Sharma's question. Ah, Adi Baba, he was only 7 years old. But anyway, But then I read a commentary in the 11th canto. It said, you know, all, you know, so many existentialists and personalists, they're saying, you know, how can God have, it can't be real that God has a girlfriend. But their love life, that's real. That's real. That's the, I mean, that's a real thing. Their love life is real. But God, no, God can't have one. So now that was my introduction to the pastime, because there's not much of the pastime. So I had to say something. In fact, I got in contact with Leela and I said, what is this swing pastime? Leela, what do you know? She gave me something, but here's the thing. It's very interesting. You know, in Vrindavan, you have different seasons, and one season is the hot season. And the hot season is the hot season. You're talking about over 115 degrees Fahrenheit. Yes. If you can't imagine when I lived in Vrindavan during the summer, and you'd be under a fan, and you'd have a bucket of water and a gumption. And you put the bucket, the gumption in the bucket of water and cover yourself so you can sleep. You know how quickly it dried? Dried. It was so hot, you can't imagine. So it's something about it too. It's very, very sweet. They have a saying in the only mad dogs and Englishmen go out in the midday sun. So it's very hot. But it also has a charm. Every season, there's different foods you eat in different seasons. And just on a material platform, it's very nice to adjust to the environment and tolerate, rather than always change the artificially change the environment to suit the external. Because if you don't learn to tolerate, you never become extracted from the body. And a pinch of pain is felt more than a ton of pleasure. So if you're always just accommodating, you got your hands always on this and the air conditioner and the heater and this and that, and you never get to tolerate, you never become detached from the body. So you actually suffer more. So it's kind of interesting. So, you know, the seasons. So in Krishna's pastimes, each season facilitates different love. Because our concept of God is when he wants to enjoy simultaneously with the desire to enjoy, which is the exchange of love, an appropriate environment manifests. It's not like he has to go to Vrindavan. Vrindavan manifests according to God's consciousness when he wants to enjoy intimate love. And then there are different seasons that facilitate that love. So in Vrindavan, so there's the hot season. And so what happens, and this is classical in India, what happens is after the hot season comes the rainy season. And another thing happens in the rainy season that's very interesting. You see, because in that system, the young chaste girl gets married and goes to her husband's house. And now she's under her mother-in-law. And they work her hard, and she has to cook, and she has to clean, and she has to take care of the children, and serve her husband, and do this, and this is the Indian system. So all the young girls from Barsana, they get married, and they get married to husbands that live in Jawit, and Radharani is apparently married to Abhimanyu, and her mother-in-law is Jatila, and her sister-in-law is Katila, and they work hard, and all the young girls in Braj work hard. And then the summer comes, and you still have to cook in the summer, and you make the little clay stoves, and it's so hot, and there's so much. And then the rainy season comes, and the girls get to go back to their parents' house. And when the parents come home, their young little girl is coming home and they treat her like a princess, and she doesn't have to cook and she doesn't have to clean, and they buy her so many things, and she just rests around and she waits all year so that she can come at that time of the year. And that time of the year is the best time of the year. Why? Because the rains come. And what do? The rains clean everything. And it, from the summer, it becomes cool. I remember, especially in Vrindavan, I was living in a brick building. So what happens is the bricks become like a heater. They can, like, they build up the heat. It's so intolerable. You can't live in a Western way. You have to live out in the country, in the air, on the rope beds at night. And so then what happened is the rains come. Even today, just think of Vrindavan today. The rains come and they clean everything. And on the leaves, they clean the leaves. And the leaves are like, this is a description Lila Vlasini gave me from Vrindavan now. She said, the leaves become like emeralds. They're so shiny. And she said, all the flowers bloom in the rainy season. And she said, in Vrindavan, there's 7 types of jasmine that bloom. And not only 7 types of jasmine, but then they're the night jasmine that bloom. And all the flowers bloom. And the fragrance, sometimes even myself, who does not have, astrologically, debilitated Venus doesn't give me, it's good for sannyas. I'm not too, affected by the environment, how it smells, how it looks, and like, I'll make a joke about my debilitated Venus. Because, people have exalted Venuses. It's not good for sannyas because they're like very fine things, and you can see them. And they have beautiful singing voices. And so I try to dress up nicely, and I iron my clothes. And today, my mother would say, I'm going to look like a mensch. So I clothe. And then I walk out the door. This is debilitated Venus. And the doorknob gets stuck in my pocket and rips my shirt. So I'm blessed. It's like, this is for like sannyas. It's great. You can't get too much. But even myself, walking in Braj, sometimes you'll hit an area where the fragrance will just hit you. The fragrance. So there's all kinds of fragrances in the air, beautiful fragrances. And the rainy season is the mating season for the peacocks. So what happens? That's when they have their dances. And they have their dances and they have their peacock feathers. Last time I was there, next time you come to Vrindavan, it's really not far from the Krishna Balaram Mandir. And somehow I just saw it for the first time this year. I don't know if Govardhan, you've ever seen this, but you go to the Parikram path, right? And then when you go on the Parikram path and you get to the part where it turns right and goes to town, right? You can go left, where I get the Brijbasi rotis. But if you keep on going, you come to this village where is Subari Muni's ashram. Famous story of Subari Muni who got cursed and had to get married, had 100 kids. I thought that's a blessing. No. Anyway. Remember when Gopa found out Kishori is pregnant with triplets, he was sitting on the tearing his hair out. I don't know what's going to happen here. Anyway, you get blessed to have 2 kids, 3 kids. After that, you don't know if it's a blessing. Anyway, and then what happened? So she took us to this ashram. And this Subari ashram, you go up on this hill. It's a 15-minute walk. And there's this ashram of Subari Muni. And on top of the roof, it just looks out into those gardens of Vrindavan. and the peacocks come and they dance. So this is what happens. The peacocks are dancing, they're offering their flowers, and this is the season where the young girls go to Barsana. So what do the parents do for their young daughters that they haven't seen? They're torturing their daughter-in-laws. But anyway, the young daughters that they haven't seen. What do they do with the young daughters that they haven't seen? They make a beautiful swing. And then the girls swing. And it's the only year time of the year you can do this. Because why? Because there's the mist and the water in the air. So when you swing, you get the mist of the rainy season. It's just so pleasant. But not only do you get the mist of the rainy season, the fragrance of the flowers. You see, in original Braj, you didn't need to go to a gym. You just would churn butter. You didn't need aromatherapy. You just breathed in all the flowers. You didn't need psychiatrists because you just play with the cow dung. And upstate New York, in Ransila Polytechnic Institute, there's a scientist, the late Komarupa Prabhu, showed me the article, that there is a bacteria that they're isolating in cow dung that is an antidepressant. You didn't need psychiatrists, you need aromatherapy, you didn't need a gym. And so they're swinging. It is so pleasant. And this happened at this time of the year. Now it's the rainy season. It's so pleasant. And they're breathing in this, oh my God, the jasmine flowers in the air. It's just fragrance is so beautiful. And roses, which are not plastic. They're actually soft and sweet. And they're swinging. But there was a place where especially they would go to swing. And when you go to Barsana, when you go from the Mankutir, the Ramesh Baba, one of the hills, and you walk along that path. You remember that, Janine? You walk along a path, and then you're going to get into Jaipur Mandir. And I think just before you got to Jaimantir, there's a place called something, Dan Bihari. It's a huge swing place. So Krishna would go there and meet Radha, and they would swing. He would swing with Lalita, he would swing with Shaki, he would swing with Radha. And because there is the most intense spiritual love from the soul, God's pleasure. It's not ordinary pleasure, God's pleasure, because it was that swinging with Radha, on that swing, at that time, with those fragrances, with that cool breeze, it was just the most delightful thing. But one Brahmin was very, very poor, and he had a problem. And what was the problem of that Brahmin? Had to get his daughter married, and he didn't have a dowry. And his wife was saying, we have to get our daughter married. There has to be a dowry. He said, I don't know. Brahmins, we depend on what we get, and Krishna's not sending me much. I'm very poor. I don't have any dowry. What should I do? I can't do it. She said, well, Krishna is the prince of Braj. He's the ocean of compassion. And he has so many jewels. You go beg from him. She says, oh yes, I heard that Krishna goes to this place. And when he goes to this place, he meets Radha there. I know this, somehow or other, I don't know, if it's Shastra or something. So he goes to Krishna, and Krishna, the Brahmins, they worship the Brahmins, and says, Krishna, I know you will follow the desire of a Brahmin. You have to give me your greatest treasure, because I need to get a good husband for my daughter. Jai Jagannath Prabhu gave class in the Bhakti sect, and he made one point. He said, everyone's looking for Bhagavan. Bhagavan means one who has all six opulences. So he gave an example that, you know, a guy may look for a girl, right? And then, or a girl may look for a guy. And the guy may be so handsome, but he's dumb. So she's not satisfied. Okay, then he's handsome and he's smart, right? But he has weak health. He has no strength. Oh, I don't want him. And he's like that. But he just like, no one respects the guy. Oh, I don't want that. You go like this, so the guy wants a girl, he wants this, and then, but there's no, he has everything. You know, he's got this, and this, and this, and this, but he's got no money. So he made a nice point. Everyone is looking for Krishna, because Krishna has all six opulences. He's the one that's beautiful, and strong, and wealthy, and famous, and also renounced. Because you may get everybody else, but they may be so codependent with you. Say, oh, that guy's a wimp. He doesn't have any strength. Or the opposite way around. Like, girls she's slobbering all over me. I can't stand it. Get away. The Krishna's also renounced. So he's got everything. We're all looking for Krishna. So he went to Krishna. I want the greatest treasure. Can you give me the greatest treasure? Krishna says, yes, here, take Radha. Radha's friends were furious. You give Radha? Well, I mean, the Brahmin asked me, and you know, I got to be truthful. He asked for the thing that had the greatest wealth. I have to give him the... Give him Radha? And then the Brahmin's gone, oh my God. I asked for the great thing. I have one lady to marry. Now I got another lady to marry. Now there's two. What kind of benediction is this? I asked for the greatest treasure. He just gives me another girl. Now I got to get her married too. I still don't have a dowry. So everyone's on Krishna's case, and the wife is furious with the Brahmin. And how to resolve this? How to settle this? So gopis come up with a plan. Put Radha on one side of the scale and pile up gold. You put Radha here and then pile up gold until it's equal. So Krishna took off all his ornaments and Radha is here. They kept on piling him and piling him and all his ornaments and all his jewels. Finally, he put his flute and then it was kind of equal. And he gave the Brahmin. The Brahmin was happy and everyone. And this is rasa. Rasa, vai, saha. The ultimate reality is an exchange of love. That makes sense to us. We are consciousness which reaches its fruition in love. And love is an exchange. It's such a reasonable conception of the absolute. It's an exchange of love. Ultimately, that's what exists. And love happens in drama. It's got to be drama for love. So, and one other point that's really nice, two other points, and then we'll have kirtan. And then we'll have a traditional Shravan, the month of Shravan, Italian feast. One time they asked the greatest scholar in Vrindavan. I have the transcript. It was translated. They asked the greatest scholar. And scholars are independent. You can't put them into political camps. They're independent. They don't have that tribal consciousness. I'm this, I'm that. They're independent. So they asked the Brahmin, they asked the sadhu. I think they wanted to kind of like get them to say something bad about ISKCON being not traditional. They go to this great scholar, 9 PhDs from Banaras Hindu University, the greatest scholar. He said, can you serve Krishna pizza? So they're waiting for the answer. This is not bona fide. I was with Joel Cayley yesterday, and he told me when the shelter band, you know, they stayed at Henry's house where Jamuna was living. And Jamuna Devi cooked a huge feast for them. You know, and they were trying to be like strict, you know, they were brahmachari, so they were trying to be strict. And then after the feast, then Jamuna brought out this chocolate pudding cake. And Raghunath looked at him and said, I said, well, I guess there goes that rule. That rule. So, what was my last point besides the pizza and the chocolate and things? What? No, Lisa, but why was I saying that? That's the point. What? Oh, the answer is? The answer, he said, was whatever you like best, you can offer with the most devotion. Within reason. You can offer the most. But I made that point for another thing. It means, what?
Rasa.
It's all rasa, yeah. It's rasa, yeah, okay. That's a point. Okay. Last point, and then we'll have the jewel on you. You'll be surprised when you see this jewel on. It's so beautiful. Krishna, here's the last point. You want to understand Radha. You have to understand the relationship between pleasure, love, and beauty. I remember when we had the Julan at the Yogamaya. You remember that? And I had 5 minutes to speak. And had to explain this to people who had no idea what was going on. So I explained, if you want to understand Radha, you have to understand the relationship between pleasure, beauty, and love. Happiness, beauty, and love. Happiness is love. Love means to offer the best. So where there is bhakti, there's going to be beauty. If the absolute reality is full of happiness and therefore full of love, and there's an exchange of love, it's going to be beautiful. I was reading in the 11th chapter of the first canto, the city of Dwarka, and Prabhupada's describing how beautiful it is, the ponds and the lakes. And there's actually, I'm going to write about this, there is a aesthetic and a spiritual purpose to beauty. It creates aesthetics, creates finer sentiments in the consciousness. It also creates a culture of humility, because beauty is humbling. Beauty is humbling. So when things are beautiful and done in the right way, so this is, I know, it's great. The Catholic Church has what's called a liturgical calendar. You have a regular calendar, which is just the days of the month. Then you have a liturgical calendar where all the days are related to spirituality. There's a worship of a saint, there's Lent, there's different things. So that you just don't look at your week in terms of, you know, my enjoyment, my family, my friends, but you look at it in terms of God. So Vaishnavas also have a liturgical calendar. And in this particular month, it's the month of Shravan. And I remember in the Festival of Holi, which is another beautiful festival, and I was visiting Shamdas, for 30 days, they sing different songs and pastimes about that. It's such a beautiful thing. So proper culture follows these festivals. So this is the swing festival in the month of August. Month of August. Okay, so Gopa. So time for the swing. Brynn, you can lead kirtan. Will you please play the mridanga? And we'll do the swing festival. We'll be in the mood. Yeah, take out the swing. Tota, you can help. Brynn, here's the harmonium. You'll see how that works with you.